Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Well, hello, hello, hello. What an historic weekend it was in sports. Couldn't wait to get in here on Monday. I am here. I am Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd. Chris is back from Augusta, sort of. He's got one toe in the water. We'll catch you up on that. We got a lot to get to today. Going to be a lot of fun. Hope you had a great weekend, too. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. That is also our Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You can follow us on Twitter. We're going to get some great poll questions up today on our Twin Peaks Twitter poll at 99.3 ESPN. You can also follow me at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Plus, check us out on Facebook Live. Pete Shepherd, how are you, sir? That was awesome. Tiger!
I had a 10-day yesterday. I Bo Derek'd myself without the dreads.
Without the dreads?
Without the dreads. I didn't run down the beach with my cleavage hanging out. But other than that,
good,
it was an absolute
God, I just threw up in my mouth.
Perfect 10 of a day. Unbelievable. Golf 9 holes. Got absolutely monsooned on.
Yeah.
At 9 at my place. So it ended up being a blessing in disguise. Got home, jumped in the shower. Went up to Publix, grabbed some ingredients. I was going to make a nice sauce slash gravy slash ragu all day, let it simmer while my wife was away with friends.
What are you, Francisco Molinari? What are you cooking over here?
Well, if I'm making a big Sunday sauce. It was, I haven't been able to do that in a while. I'd only do it. Anyway, got back. I was watching Tiger while we were playing 9 on streaming it. Did my thing in the grocery store. Got back by 10:45, Masters on. I think he was on the fourth or fifth hole by then. So, and just did my prep stuff, did the sauce, and then just sat there and was in awe of what I was watching the entire day, not just with Tiger, but a lot of other people, a lot of other golfers going, you know, flipping on occasion to basketball a little bit, on occasion to baseball, and I mean seconds. 99% focused in on the Masters. To have it end before 3 o'clock was unbelievable. Sorry, CBS. But it was... I won't say surreal, but it was, I had tears. I had goosebumps. I was emotional. I was thinking of my dad, you know, how incredible that, he would have loved to have been down here watching it. God rest his soul. And my uncle too. But it just brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah.
And, man, it was something. And I know about Tiger. We all know about Tiger's past. Sarah Spain wrote an interesting article today. I get it. I understand it. But I got totally caught up in the moment. I thought it was awesome. It was one of the most, for me, spectacular events I've seen in my lifetime.
I tweeted out shortly afterward at Craig ESPN. I said, hey, after over a decade, you know, Tiger's got the green jacket again. And it feels like all was back to normal in this crazy world. Tiger is a winner at Augusta. I mean, that's how life used to be. It wasn't too, you know, it happened all the time.
11 years.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was great to watch him. No, 11 for a major, 14 from Augusta.
Masters, yeah.
Here's how big yesterday was when they announced. First of all, I had a great day Saturday, too. Went out golfing with my dad Saturday and then came back home and watched Masters at my parents' house with mom and dad. It was kind of cool.
And I was telling you, Saturday, when we got done, I played Saturday, too, got 18 in there. But at our place, just the pool bar outside, you know, not jam packed because a lot of the snowbirds are gone, but the 50 or so people that were, everybody absolutely ensconced with Tiger, every single shot, ooh and ah, you know.
I don't know, you could take your eyes off of
it
all weekend.
It was impossible.
Here's how big it was when they announced that the Masters was going to be moved up by 6 hours because of inclement weather. The Craig man changed his church schedule. I went to Mass at night, Sunday night,
because
I had to watch. Had to watch the Masters at 9 a.m. Man, that's how big this was.
Okay. So remembering a few good men, which Chris still has.
Breaking news. Hey, by the way, I still went to Mass. I just went at a different time. It's not that big of a deal.
Hold on, that's a demerit. So remembering a few good men. Unit Corps God Country. Craig is now Master's God Family Job.
That's not true. I just changed the time. That's
Master's Lord.
You should know this. The one benefit of being a Catholic, we got like 800 times to choose from to go to Mass every weekend.
That's true.
It's our schedule. It's all good. All right. Enough about...
And if you're Magic Johnson, he had his own way of hearing from his pastor, which we'll get into at some point.
I want to hear this because I haven't heard this. You and Chris Ham.
Yes.
All right. So that's a little bit of our reaction over the weekend. We're going to be talking about all day. We love you at 239-337-ESPN. And we're going to get a couple of Twin Peaks Twitter poll questions. But Chris is back. You know, I supported Chris. You all were saying there was no way he was calling in on Friday.
I absolutely
said he was because it was a commitment to the show.
If Tiger had teed off at 9, I would have agreed with you. But Tiger teeing off at 2, it was physiologically, mentally, and technologically impossible for him to call in.
That's what we figured. But he is here now. Barely. Your flight just landed like 2 hours ago. What happened?
My flight scheduled to leave at 10 o'clock last night out of Atlanta. Maybe 10:30.
Right.
Whatever it was. It got delayed a bunch.
Yeah.
We pushed back from the gate. Did not land. Pushed back from the gate in Atlanta.
Yeah.
2 a.m.
Can we digress for 1 second? So
I was home by 4.
Because of the weather?
But you find out.
The weather in the Northeast. My flight was coming from.
By LaGuardia?
Oh, your plane. You didn't have a plane.
Newark or one of them.
Normally, after that late hour, they'll just cancel. But there must have been so many people living in Augusta.
Did you guys consider when you found out there was going to be moved up and it was going to be done by 3 o'clock or 2:30, whenever it was yesterday, did you consider getting on an earlier flight?
$600.
$600
to change. Isn't it normally like $75 to change a flight?
$600?
This is Sunday of Augusta, and they moved the starting times up. I don't think I was the only one.
Well, let me ask you this. had you known you'd have a five-hour delay, would you have reconsidered?
No, because I looked at my buddy. I went up with two buddies who are both down here in town today, and I looked at them at about 1 a.m. I said, you guys do realize if we just would have drove home... we'd be home right now.
Right.
They're like, yeah, I've thought of that. Thank you.
Oh, that's true, because it's, 10 hours to Atlanta?
It's about 10 hours, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I didn't think of that.
Wow. No, I was kicking myself at about 1 a.m. Said, you know what, that'd be pretty sweet right now if I were getting cozy in my bed.
Another logistics, you're here, it was a nightmare. By the way, this happens to you every year. I'm going to point out that I've known you. You have trouble with your transportation to and from Augusta.
And this is a fact. But this is a new thing for me, too. I went years without having a flight delayed.
Yeah?
It got delayed 5 times last night.
So you paid off a security guard to have Tiger taken out. That didn't work.
No, he was rooting for Tiger.
That happened right after we left on Friday. No, but honestly, you had some great stories. So take us through Saturday and Sunday, where you positioned yourself, the buzz, the crowd.
Honestly, you could feel
the electricity through the TV.
Honestly, and I've never done this before. I normally... there are a few holes that everybody knows, man. You watch it on TV. You've got a handful of holes on that back nine, 15 green, the hill on 16 where you can see the 15th and the 16th green, 17, depending where the flag is. Like, there are spots where you know you can see a lot of action.
Right.
I didn't care.
Right.
I followed around Tiger every day.
But this is the first time you've done Augusta with him in... No, actually, he was in contention last year.
He was in contention,
but I'll tell you guys, it was different last year than this year.
Yeah.
It just was, because at the top of the leaderboard last year, kind of by the back nine, I don't want to say he played himself out of it, but it was kind of like, okay, this is going to go to Ricky, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
John Rahm was in it for a few holes until he put it in the water on 15 like Molinari did yesterday. So, like, it didn't have the Tiger feel on back nine Sunday.
Right.
Never been a part of anything like that yesterday.
Well, in addition to the Tiger buzz and what we'll continue to talk about all day, with about the last hour and a half, there were 5 guys tied for first place. Well, I've never seen that before.
Well, I'll tell you, the guy who's got lost in the shuffle in this and all of this is Cantlay.
Patrick Cantlay, oh my God!
He eagled, right?
Then he looked like he was going to be the one.
No, Koepka did the double bogey, eagle back to back.
But Cantlay got right in it. He took the lead, right? He took the lead. Briefly.
He was one over Saturday morning, and got himself to where he made some serious coin over the weekend.
Shot a 64 and a 68.
What did Spieth finish? Because he had an interesting score after starting
four under.
He was plus four on Thursday,
yep.
And so had he not.
Four under?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
He finished.
It was a nice rebound after a horrible start.
500. He shot 69 and 71.
All right. What got a bigger. You always talk about the bull and the roar, the tiger roar. What was
I heard the loudest one I've ever heard.
And it wasn't 18 when he hit it.
No, it was not. I was on 18.
Right.
By the way,
where were you positioned?
About 10 rows back.
Are you on the wrong side to be on the Sports Illustrated cover again?
No, I'm on the right side, but I'm not close enough, so I'm not even going to look. Okay. But we are up on 18, and just so everybody knows, 18 and 16, they're pretty much opposite ends of the course.
Okay.
I mean, it's a good hike to get between those two holes. When Tiger's approach on 16,
almost hold it.
When it came down off of that slope and it
took a left-hand
turn by about 6 inches?
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like that before.
Really?
That was the loudest I've ever heard Augusta National. Loudest before that was Phil's shot out of the pine straw on number 13.
Right.
What was that, 5-6 years ago, whatever it was. It was longer than that, actually.
Longer than that now.
But yeah, that was, and it was pro Tiger crowd doesn't begin to explain the vibe around there. I saw two people all day cheering for Francesco Molinari. That's not to say people were rude towards Molinari,
right?
But really, people were just kind of like, okay, I really hope this guy does something to mess this up so I get to see a Tiger victory.
Yeah.
And
lo and behold, on 12, it happened.
It was amazing.
And that was a funny sound. Because I'm all the way down on 13 fairway trying to see, Tiger's approach into a par 5. I thought that'd be really cool to watch.
Yeah.
And you hear the ooze. It's not a cheer, but it's not a boo. It's an ooh.
It's like, here we go.
Yeah. And then I kind of like have to duck my head down real low to see under a tree.
Yeah.
And I see Molinari walking to the Molinari and Finau, because Finau dunked it as well.
Right.
And I see them both walking, and you see Tiger's red shirt going over the bridge.
Yeah.
And it changed right there. It changed from, man, Tiger can do this, to,
this is happening.
Tiger's going to do this.
Yeah.
This is.
Let me take you back to Saturday or Friday during the rain delay that there was never any rain. And after he stuck it, was it on the 12th?
12th.
The 12th. And Craig and I both looked at each other and said, oh my God, he's walking off. They're going to call it for weather. And I'm like, he's got a 4.5 foot putt. I bet you. We both agreed he was going to miss it on the way, if it was any significant length, which it ended up being half an hour wasted. But where were you when that happened?
There's a concession area right by Amen Corner, and that's where I was posted up at, and there was a guy with an Apple Watch on, and you're not supposed to bring him in.
Yeah. Violation.
And I see him talking into his wrist.
Just a fan.
Like
just a
he's
fan.
CIA or something like that.
Yeah.
And, it was a fan.
A regular fan, and pulls up the radar on his little screen. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I see something there, but it's going to go north. Like, we should be good.
Right.
So at that point, that was when I was kind of deciding, do I need to go call these guys before the end of the show?
It was like quarter after five when that happened.
That was the only chance. But once I saw that,
and then once
really
that happened, I'm like, nah, I'm staying here. I'll talk to those guys on Monday.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the other thing. And we were talking about this on the air Thursday and Friday, and you could really see it when I was sitting in front of a TV all weekend. Tiger's demeanor was different than any time I'd ever seen. I mean, he never got high. He never got low. He never. If he got mad at a shot, it was over in about 10 seconds. He didn't get too elated. There weren't too many fist pumps to the end. It was like he was the most stoic, calm, level-headed guy. I mean, I haven't seen this Tiger before.
He also
seemed to be enjoying it.
When he said, quote, well, accidents happen after the security guy, mistakenly almost took him
old
out.
Old Tiger had somebody fired.
He would have had blown a gasket and a half back, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Because when you saw that happen, and it happened right after we got off the air, as usual.
Yeah.
And when I got home and saw it, I go, oh, my God. When I first saw it, I go, oh my, he's done.
Yeah.
He's going to be done. He either hurt his back or and he was limping, but only for a little bit.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Alex in Fort Myers kicking off for us on Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN.
Hey, Alex. By Tiger, but I'm going to tell you something. I had 20-1 Skittles on Molinari.
Yeah.
And the guy hits a friggin' pine cone.
I know.
A pine cone.
Yes,
that was amazing, wasn't it? And the pine cone hit the fairway before the ball hit the water. In the pond.
I mean, it was oh my God. I went out and every Christmas pine cone ornament we had in the garage, I just smashed with a 4-iron.
That kind of reminded me of Jordan Spieth a couple of years ago making a fierce comeback, and on 18, he hit that one little branch that was hanging over by the tee box.
But you know what, Alex? On that hole, how many people screwed up? I mean, it was like five or six shots players in a row. You know, if they weren't hitting pine cones.
On 12, too.
Yeah.
On 12.
Yeah.
A lot of them undercut after the rain and the wind changed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then they both, you know, and they were both good swings.
Yeah, they were. Nothing wrong with it.
I don't care. I lost. Oh, God. Pine cones.
Pine cones.
Sorry, Alex. He had to vent.
Well, my 14-1 Skittles on Tiger paid off, so
nice.
I appreciate that.
That's good.
That was great.
It paid off for some other dude that put $85,000 on Tiger. He won $1.19 million.
Hey, congratulations. I think Philly Kevin won our Sheeman and Shepherd
he did.
Fantasy Golf.
Yeah, good. Well,
by one.
It's not official yet. We got to go back and check the tape, make sure the payouts are all correct and all that stuff. But yeah, okay. Philly Kevin holding it down.
Good job.
I finished sixth. No big deal.
I had Tiger. I had Molinari. I had Webb Simpson, and I still finished 37. I only had one guy miss the cut. Everybody else was under par in my pool. And how do I finish 37th? Craig finished 31st.
I'm awesome.
I had four guys in the top 10, and I didn't come in the top 10.
It's kind of like your NC2A bracket.
What the hell happened?
It sounds to me like the pro-Tigerness of the crowds out there really came through the broadcast.
Oh, absolutely. It did. And they were talking about constantly about guys, as usual, guys in other holes, hole or two away. You got to turn around. You're ready to make a shot. You hear the roar. You stop. It does have an effect. He has, unlike any other athlete I have ever seen, and he just said there's an aura about him that is, it's unlike anything I've ever seen.
It's different now. Yeah. I've gone, this was my 12th year going up there.
Right.
12th in a row.
We're going next year.
This is a Phil Mickelson crowd at Augusta every year. Yeah. It's lefty, man. Yeah. Phil is the crowd favorite there on the grounds. That was not the case.
But since you've there been going, Tiger's been
I think that met. There were, but I've also gone before the whole Thanksgiving, you know, Friday night, 8-iron through the back of his Escalade.
Yeah.
I went before that, before anybody, you know, the worst that people would say about Tiger, oh, he's too cocky, I don't like him.
Right.
Well, then you don't like to root for the guy, whatever.
Right.
I didn't hear anyone cheering against Tiger Woods, which for all the, because I'm sure we'll get a call today. Oh, what he did to his wife, what he did to all those Waffle House waitresses, blah, 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 blah. Like, dude, come on, man. Yeah. He's an athlete.
Right.
This was a great sporting event.
It was.
It was fantastic.
Was he
enjoy
an
arrogant it.
SOB in all many years to a lot of people? Yes, he was. I grant you everything. Did he have massive infidelities? Absolutely. Personally, could he handle his life a lot better? Yes. We stipulate to all of that. And believe me, it was in the back of my head, but it still did not take away. And even people you could tell deep down who tried to not root for him or pay attention got caught up in it because it's Tiger, and that does not happen with anybody else I have ever seen in my life on the PGA Tour.
What?
Not Jack Nicklaus, not Watson, not Arnold Palmer, none of them. Not even remotely close. Jack in 86.
That's going to be close.
Jack in 86 when he won the six Masters.
Yeah, but Jack didn't think he was done and paralyzed and never going to pick up a golf club again.
Exactly.
I mean, Tiger thought he was done two years ago.
It was also different because Greg Norman had a massive lead in the 86 Masters.
Yeah,
I believe he blew a four-shot lead on Sunday.
He was a big fan favorite back then, too.
But here's what's also different about Tiger. Back when Tiger was good in the late 90s and early 2000s, nobody really challenged him. I mean, it would be somebody different every week. It wasn't one guy. We kept praying for it to be Phil. Every once in a while it would be, or Ernie Els or Duvall. It would be somebody different. It would be one and two. It would be a two-man race.
Colin Montgomery.
We had an eight-man race. There are eight other guys that can say they are just as good as Tiger and had a chance to win that yesterday.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Tiger kind of mentioned it yesterday, talking about how golfers, his competitors, have changed during his career where his first couple years out on tour, he would see Vijay Singh in the gym, and that's it.
Yeah.
Now,
oh, they're all
Brooks Koepka in a gym.
Oh, when is he not in the gym?
Doing laps around Tiger, whatever they're doing. DJ.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys got some real firepower. Xander Schauffele is a hell of a young player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, learn how to pronounce his name. He's going to be around for a very long time.
He almost while we're watching Tiger and Molinari back and forth. All of a sudden, he gets an eagle, and all of a sudden, he's in the lead ahead of both of them. It was incredible yesterday. Absolutely incredible.
It was. It was amazing. I think probably the most disappointing player was probably Rory McIlroy, I'd say. I mean, he came on strong yesterday at a 68, but that first round did him in, and Everybody expected him to be at the top of the leaderboard. He never could get close, tied for
21st. And Ricky had another typical Ricky. Yep. Well, he made a run. He was good. He was kind of there, just a little, and can't get her done.
Nope. Brooks Koepka. So, by the way, CBS, it's Brooks, not Bruce. Yeah, Brooks.
Did they really?
Yeah, a lot of times. Many a lot times. Of times, yeah. Yep.
By the way, what if he hits that putt on 18? Then what are we looking at? Then what are we looking at, a Tiger?
We didn't see it.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, no, we did.
The
long
one that just missed.
That's right, the long one that just missed.
Had he hit that putt, then Tiger doesn't lay up on 18. He's got to go for it from under that tree.
Did Tiger hit iron off of the tee on 18? Or did he hit it like a 3-wood or something?
3-wood. 3-wood.
Okay, but if he has to make a 5 to win,
yes.
Yeah.
He's probably pulling driver, because his driver, apart from hole number 11, which I saw him hit twice out of the spectator area, it was a weapon for him this weekend.
At that time, when he was on the tee box, Koepka hadn't missed that putt yet.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulled a 3-wood at that point and said, I'm going to be conservative. At this point, I think he was thinking he needed a 4. And then when Koepka missed that one putt, then when he was on his second shot, he knew he needed a 5.
To me, he was playing bogey all the way. He was just playing. I mean, if he got a par, nice, but it didn't matter. It was safe. Which is smart golf, which is what it should have been.
This is really what golf needed.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you have Tiger Woods bringing in every set of eyeballs who cares about golf.
Yep.
Or really who cares about sports. But who do you have coming after him? Brooks Koepka. Mm-hmm. He's still won 3 of the last 9 majors that they've teed it up in.
Right,
like, let's not scoff at this guy.
Right.
Dustin Johnson.
He snuck in there to second place.
Dustin Johnson made a run up the leaderboard. Mm-hmm. You had Ricky showing off a little bit back 9 on Sunday. Tony Finau, watch out for him. Yeah. He's got everything you need to be a major championship winner. So you had Tiger bringing in the eyeballs and a lot of these young studs that were right there, that were on display to people who might not have known who Brooks Koepka is, because they just don't care about the U.S. Open if Tiger's not in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to put about 2 or 3 questions up on the Twin Peaks Twitter poll. First of all, you had one you wanted to put.
Yeah, one, I think. What surprised you the most after, Sunday night? Okay, and the 3 things. Or after... Yeah, what surprised you the most after Sunday in sports? Tiger winning the – I can phrase this way. Tiger winning, the Tampa Bay Rays have the best record in the majors, or the Tampa Bay Lightning down 3-0 to Columbus.
Yeah. All right.
What's more surprising of those 3?
All right.
I think that's a good question.
I like that. Yeah. I have 2 more that I want to add. Mm-hmm. We're going to have 3 questions on the Twin Peaks Twitter poll today. Second one – what was a bigger event in your household yesterday?
Ooh.
Tiger and the Masters?
My sauce.
Or Game of Thrones?
Okay. Oh, excellent.
Which, by the way, I watched.
Fantastic.
I have some questions.
Okay. We have answers.
Then, here's the third question I want on the poll. Did you, and I got to be honest with this one, did you or did you not tear up when CBS played the montage of Tiger hugging his late father, Earl, after the 18th hole of his first win at the Masters, cutting to him hugging his son after winning the Masters this year? Did you tear up, Pete Shepard?
I teared up.
Did you get a tear in your eye?
I teared up way before that.
I got a tear in my
eye. Way before that. Are you kidding me? I teared up before, during, and after.
It's very sentimental.
Absolutely. 3 sets, too. I thought I'd dry it out, and it started up again. I really brought some big emotions with my dad.
That's when your wife walks in the room. You're like, yeah, I got something in my eye.
She wasn't home. No, she knows me. She knows me. Oh, last night, you know what the little rascal did to me last night?
What's
my
that?
Wife? She sat there and she went in the other room when Game of Thrones. I had the lights out and everything else, right?
Yeah.
And she counted how many times I said, "Oh my God." She said she got to 8. She said, but she thinks there were 3 or 4 others.
During Game of Thrones?
During Game of Thrones, yeah.
I don't know why. That plot.
Because you don't know the plot.
No. In an hour and 5 minutes, That plot, I could have wrapped that up in 3 minutes.
Absolutely not.
You guys
not.
Are talking about all these intricacies of the plot, how I've missed out
you
in the last 8 years
know.
And I can't catch up. I have a college degree. I can figure this
you
stuff out.
You don't know the last scene. Jamie Lannister, three-eyed raven, the kid in the wheelchair. You know nothing about any of that
I do have
stuff.
A question about the kid in the wheelchair.
No, I'm not telling you. No, you don't deserve
it. I have a question about the kid in the wheelchair.
Go back and watch season one.
No.
Watch the first episode. Go watch the first episode, honestly, and you'll find a big answer to your question will be at the very end of season one.
This plot moves slower than an episode of Lost.
You're out of your mind.
Oh, God.
Out of your mind.
This whole big buildup for a year and a half, and nothing took place last night except for two things.
You have to understand, it was a table setter. It was like
baseball. I want a table setter.
Your top two
you
guys
got a
just got on
base. Billion people watching this. Half of them have never seen it before. They are caught up on the hype, and they want to get caught. And it's like, oh, my God, it was so slow. I fell asleep. I had to nod myself awake to finish.
I'm sorry it's not Seinfeld, a nice little 24-minute show about nothing, that there's actual some depth.
It is a show about nothing.
A little nuance. I thought it was great.
I loved it. I loved it. You knew it was going to be...
Setting the table.
No, I don't want a table setter. This is the biggest cable production in the history of Earth. I don't need table setters.
Well, no. What do you want? You want the dragons to start fighting right at the beginning and to fight for an hour and a half? That ain't going to happen. How about Jon Snow riding the... Can you call him Jon Snow still?
No, it's not his name.
It's not his
name. All right. Well, when we come back...
How about Daenerys telling Sam that she killed his family? Oh,
yeah. Samwell Tully. I feel bad for the kid. You feel bad for the guy.
He's going to get it next if he doesn't watch.
You know how she killed his father and her father and brother?
I don't know. Cut their heads off. I don't know.
No,
she has dragons.
She has a dragon. Drug on, burned him to death. Burned him to death because they wouldn't bend the knee.
You know, that's a little harsh. I got to tell you. It's a little harsh.
It was crisp.
All right, Game of Thrones. When we come back, Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PChef326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for checking us out on a Monday, coming off an awesome sports weekend. It's always fun coming to work, but it's especially fun on days like this, coming off a weekend where Tiger Woods is back on top of the world. We got a couple of Twin Peaks Twitter poll questions, three of them up there. What's more surprising to you, Tiger actually winning the Masters, the Tampa Rays are in first place and best record in baseball, or the Tampa Lightning are about to get swept from the Stanley Cup playoffs? A couple other questions. What was a bigger event in your household this weekend, Tiger Woods and the Masters or the Game of Thrones? And did you cry? Did you tear up after Tiger won? And they showed the old video of his first Masters hugging his dad, and now cutting to the shot of him hugging his son after winning the Masters yesterday. It's all come full circle.
Yep.
Also a reminder that Pete and I, tomorrow is the third Tuesday of the month already.
Baby.
Playing poker down at the Naples Fort Myers Dog Track on Bonita Beach Road. Come on, see us tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We will be there. All right. We'll continue talking with Tiger about Tiger all day.
And just real quick, I just want to say one thing about the Lightning. If there's one team that could come back from three games to none, it's been done a few times in the NHL, it's them. They could do it. But, man, have they been out coached and out played in every – since they were down, since they're up 3-0, they have been obliterated by this Columbus team and that goalie. Absolutely. Bobrovsky's been unbelievable. That's
standing on his head.
President's Trophy means diddly poo. Said it last week. It means nothing about finishing first in the NHL. Doesn't mean a damn thing.
It means a goalie's playing really well.
Not bad, huh?
Not just a goalie.
All right, now let's switch gears to this little nerd fest.
Yeah.
Your little Dungeons & Dragons TV show on HBO.
That's offensive that you say it that way.
Daylight Dollar Short says Sopranos is 100 times better than Game of Thrones.
No, it's not.
And it's completely different shows.
Totally dead. Apples and oranges, number
you
one.
You can't compare the two.
No, it's ridiculous.
Right, by the way, if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, turn your radio. Join us tomorrow. We're going to be talking about it. All right? Just saying. All right.
I thought it had some unbelievable
So I got caught up. Look, Jon Snow All right, figures. I know he gave up his throne or to the north, and then realizes he's actually probably the king of the whole damn thing.
Say it so condescendingly?
Yeah. Do you know what it takes?
Like,
if
you're gonna lay it out there, lay it out there.
What does it take? He was the lucky sperm club. His mom and dad were the right people, and now he's like the head guy, and he doesn't know it. And it still is clueless to figure out that I could fly this dragon, so that must mean something too. All right, great. No. I'm all caught up there. I didn't need to watch all eight years.
You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea.
Just nailed it. What do you mean?
You don't know about the three-eyed raven.
Spot on.
You don't know about the brother in the wheelchair. How about Drogon staring down Jon Snow when he was kissing Daenerys?
Now, was it just me, or did the dragon's face almost look human at that point?
I thought it was going to
burn eat him.
Granted, I watched it in the airport on my cell phone, so it could have been the screen.
It was one of those. You obviously, your family, you just rode me. I let you ride me. But you mess with my lady, and I'm going to burn you to a crisp. That was a warning.
It was firm, but fair is what it was.
It was.
All right. Yep. Again, the plot moving slower than Lost.
I mean, slower.
I get it. The blue-eyed zombie people are coming. First of all,
they're White Walkers. They weren't even in the episode last night.
Let me go to the scene early on when that other little army group, their friends are coming in to help them, and they're coming in by horse and all that kind of, and everybody's watching them, and the used to be the little girl, now she's all grown up, and they're watching it.
Khaleesi.
It took forever. No dialogue for 9 minutes. I could have covered that in 9 seconds. All right, I get them. They're coming into town. They're coming to help them out. Doesn't look like they really want to, but they're gonna. I get it, Craig.
This is why.
I am up to speed.
No, you're not, and I'm going to explain why you're not. Because that scene in particular was an homage to the opening scene of the series. Yep. You had, instead of the Lannisters riding in, you had the Targaryens riding in. And the Targaryens are in love the same way that the Lannisters are in love. And it's not right, but it's what they have to do because they feel so strongly and so passionate about one another. You have Aya moving out of the way for a little boy who's excited to see the, what are they called? The warriors from...
The
Unsullied.
Oh, the Unsullied, okay.
Like, this was all, like, great stuff that pulls at your heartstrings.
Okay, all right. 239 says, I did not cry when Tiger won, but I screamed like a little girl when Ned Umber woke up with the blue eyes when he set on fire. Explain that to me. All right, so he was hung up on the wall. He had a bunch of these limbs.
Guys,
that was other dead people.
That was the Night King sending a message. Yes. I got a question.
Which they even said that in the show.
Again, I'm in the airport. I'm watching it on my phone. I screamed.
Yeah. That was one of my oh my gods. That was oh my god.
By the way, just for the record, you could have watched. Remember how I watched a certain pay-per-view fight back in the day? You could have caught this episode on if you didn't have HBO.
Free. It was streaming all over the place free.
Well, that was online only. I had to watch on an iPad. I had to watch like Chris. It wasn't free cable for Xfinity.
It wasn't free on Xfinity, but correct. If you had a Roku device or if you had another device, it was or went on HBO.com, you could probably get it. I'll tell you the one thing that I never thought about it. I should have until they brought it up. When they go, Daenerys says... What did you catch? And I'm thinking, oh my god, they're gonna feed the dragons. What are the dragons gonna eat?
People.
And of course, she says anything they want,
whatever they
want.
But
I mean, they didn't have enough food. Eventually, what are they gonna eat if they stay in the north?
Dead people.
Yeah, or maybe not dead people, just people.
They couldn't be fed what they had. There's only whatever it was, the carcasses they showed wasn't anywhere near enough.
All right.
Cersei Lannister still most hateable person on television. Still.
What's her thing with elephants? That seemed random and stupid. She was upset the dude didn't bring elephants. Because and then said it again later in the show.
They're part of the you've seen elephants before on the show. They're part of the army.
Golden Company.
Yes.
Barnum and Bailey had to go out of business because they couldn't use the elephants anymore. What makes Game of Thrones think they could use elephants? That's why, you know?
Elephants are always used. Elephants were big in Lord of the Rings and all of those movies a lot of times in war and everything else, but
all right.
What's going to happen now is we'll see what happens with Cersei. That's going to be a big part of it to see what she does. She's plotting something. She's trying to wipe everybody out. She still thinks she's not buying the whole. She understands the White Walkers and what they're capable of because they brought one to her house. Mm. They're what brought one.
Yeah.
But I still think she doesn't take it all that seriously. She's trying to find a way where she comes ahead in this
All right. A couple other observations by me.
She's going to die a nasty death. That's my prediction.
It's going to be so sweet.
The three-on-one sex scene was stupid. It was stupid. I mean, you could tell it was fake acting. It was bad acting.
That was such a small part of the
show.
That
was the same. It was bad.
I know.
I thought it was
very courteous of her at the end to say, she's like, I fancy older gentlemen as well.
So that was the scene you didn't like?
I've just run down. This is the eighth thing I've mentioned. What are you talking about? I got seven other problems with this.
So that was one of eight things you didn't like, was the scene with
women. It looked so fake that it was like, I mean, she wasn't even on the right
angle.
They were
real and spectacular.
All right, I got one more question. Okay, so my last question.
After an adult film, do you say the acting was terrible?
No, it's a good film.
Don't say that, because now he's going to lump this in with, see, it's an adult film.
Great.
This is not Cinemax.
A little porno movie here.
All right,
you're going to answer the one question I have. Who's the kid in the wheelchair?
That's not his mom.
That's the three-eyed raven.
What?
That's Bran. He's the three-eyed raven.
If you saw episode one,
Is it Jon Snow's kid?
I shouldn't even tell you this.
Is it Jon Snow's kid?
No, it seemed like it was Jon Snow's kid. No.
He seems very affectionate toward the boy.
It's Sansa's and Aerys. It's his stepbrother, sort of. And it's Sansa and Arya's brother. And in the first episode at the end, he caught Jaime and Cersei after the brother and sister. He used to like to climb. He climbed up on the tower and he peeked through the window and saw them going at it. And Jaime went up and shoved him off and he fell.
All right.
About 80 feet, and that's why he's paralyzed.
239 says, thanks, guys. Now I don't have to waste my time watching that Game of Thrones BS. You guys keep everyone up to speed. It ain't my cup of tea.
And that's why the last scene when Jaime went into Winterfell and saw the three-eyed raven, that was the last scene. That is going to be amazing because they have not really seen each other since that opening scene, or since that closing scene in season one. You have missed so much.
I don't think I have.
You have missed so much.
I think I have 90% of your 8 years you've wasted in one hour and five minutes last night.
You don't know the depth of it. This is like you reading footnotes.
I've seen two episodes now.
No.
I'm totally caught up.
You're missing the flavor of the moment.
Right, because what you're doing, Craig, is you're saying, I hear all these people talking about how great of a series Seinfeld is, right? And what you've gone done is you've read the script. You don't understand the show by reading the script. There's so much more to it than that. There's this thing called acting. Provide a little bit of depth. To see Sam Tolley last night, the difference in how he reacts to his dad and his brother being burned alive. Come on.
He's going
to
get it next. And the three-eyed
raven,
right now.
Three-eyed Raven's name is Bran. Three-eyed Raven is Bran, right, in the wheelchair?
Bran.
But he's known as the three-eyed raven because he can see. He has visions that quite often come true.
He can see everything that is happening and that has happened.
Is he Vision? We're going to lump him in to the superheroes now? Is that what we're doing?
How about Arya and the Hound? That was awesome. It's all coming together. That little dialogue that they had. Those are the little things, Craig, that you will miss. You don't know. He doesn't even know who the Hound is.
Craig's upsetting me.
I'm good. I'm in a happy place. Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. Moose in the Cape. What's up, man?
Moose.
What's happening, guys? A little chocolate buzz of golf this morning.
Nice.
A little overload.
Yeah.
My two comments on the Masters, been watching it for years, been in the golf business for years. One, I think it's great because unless you were living under a rock and don't know who Tiger Woods is, for the kids that are millennials and with all the movies that are made now where they take video games and make them into real-life characters, they will relate now because they have a real life video character with PlayStation with Tiger Woods, and they've seen him do it in person live.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of great for them to relate. But the one thing that I'm disappointed with the Masters, and this is a newer tradition that they have started, and if you go back to the old tapes, they never used to do it before. And it's got nothing to do with the weather this year.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Tiger, and in the past couple of years, they're giving the guys the green jackets in the Butler cabin.
Yeah.
Where years past, they give them on the 18th.
I agree.
Patrons.
Here, I totally agree. It takes away a little bit.
They do come back out in front of the people.
They do, but I liked it. I agree with you, Moose, totally. It takes a little bit away from the moment of putting that jacket on right there in front of everybody at first.
They did that specifically this year. because of the weather. I have the press release.
Really?
Yes.
But he did. He did come back out to the 18 green so in the jacket and holding up
every
the trophy.
Year, what they do is they do two ceremonies. Yeah. They always do one on the practice putting green, which is right behind the 18th.
Yeah.
You cannot get close to it.
Okay.
I've gone to that final round 10 years.
Yeah.
Never seen a green jacket ceremony because you cannot get that close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's photographers and video cam. Just everything is in your way. So they always do one out there, and then they do another one, like a made-for-TV where you're inside with who's the chairman now? Whoever it is. And CBS and all that, and Jim Nance is in there. And so they've done two.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we've got Sound Street, plenty of more Masters reaction, and we've got to run through these texts on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. We've got... Some people are pretty fired up about our GOT conversation.
Yeah,
they really
you
don't like
specifically.
You specifically. Yeah, you're causing accidents. You
ridiculous.
All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound,
but they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me?
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I think. Serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives. They're online at optimalmale.net. We'll start it off yesterday, courtesy of CBS. Here's the final call of Tiger Woods winning his fifth Masters.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Did you want him just to say, he bleep it did it, can you bleep it back? I'd love to see Nance just lose it once.
Now, that would not be the proper golf call, Pete Shepherd.
That's why I want it done.
And the Masters would never have him back.
I am not anything if not proper.
Jim Nance and Nick Faldo getting a little emotional following Tiger's hug with his children.
I never thought we'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997. But we just did.
That will be the greatest scene in golf forever, Jim Nance.
And that hug with his children, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, if you're a parent, you're not human.
No, the whole euphoria of everything, the patrons, his emotion, the chanting, we will never see anything as exhilarating as that. Fantastic. Congratulations, Tiger. Unbelievable.
It was a great moment.
It really was.
And it's on our Twin Peaks Twitter poll, by the way. Did you tear up?
Yes.
Be honest.
I did. More than once.
Woods with his kids there. He says it brought it back to 97 when his dad was there as well. This was in the post-match interview.
22 years later, you know, it happened with the tournament. And then to have both Sam and Charlie here. They were there at the British Open last year when I had the lead, you know, on that back nine, and I made a few mistakes and cost myself a chance to win the Open title. I wasn't going to let that happen to them twice. And so for them to see what it's like to have their dad win a major championship, I hope that's something they'll never forget.
By the way, Jack Nicklaus now thinks Tiger is capable of catching him in the majors record. We're going to start this conversation again.
Even if Tiger wasn't healthy and he could bunt the ball off the tee somewhere, with his iron game and his short game, he's going to win again. And he topped it off this week by driving the ball with it. And so it was just a very, very special week for him. And I felt for a long time that he was going to win again. And, you know, the next two majors are at Bethpage where he's won and at Pebble Beach where he's won. So, you know, he's got me shaking in my boots, guys.
He's 8-1 now for the PGA Championship favorites.
8-1?
8-1. So that's the problem now. Now if he doesn't win or be in the top five every week, it's going to be
back the way it was. 97.
Did he say what he's going to do? Do we know when he's going to play next? I'm sure he's taking this week off, obviously.
I don't know. I would take a couple of weeks off if I'm him. Yeah. How about some of the others? Brooks Koepka, who came in second, mm-hmm. says it was great that Tiger's back.
you just look at the last 5 years and what he's had to go through. I mean, to come back, get back playing and back to where he was, get his body back in shape. You know, it's one thing to do it on the range, one thing to do it when you're practicing, and then to be able to come back out here and have the Tiger of old back. As a fan, I love it. I think it's awesome. I'm glad he's back. It's probably one of the coolest things to be a part of it, even though, you know, you finished second place, you know, you're a little bummed out, but I wouldn't want it any other way.
It's almost like he's excited to be in second.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah.
Lost all that weight for nothing.
He looked good, by the way. Xander Schauffele, surreal to be part of Tiger's mm-hmm. Masters win.
Like a dream, honestly. It's what I watched as a kid. It's what I watched, you know, growing up, just everything about it. And for me to be a part of it and, you know, give it a good run. You know, I knew who's once I was on 17 and I heard a lot of roars and I knew he was on 16 and I knew he used the ridge properly like he should. And, I knew that my work was pretty cut out. So it was an incredible experience today.
I know you can say this about everybody, but, man, he missed a couple of putts in day one. Remember, he shot a 73. After that, he was lights out, 65, 70, 68. But I remember specifically two or three putts in a row that he missed. And all of a sudden, we're talking about none of this ever happening.
Let's talk about Francisco Molinari, who was in the lead for much of this. Put one in the water at 12, and that's where everything turned. He finished two strokes back. He said he learned a lot from this day.
I learned a lot from today, from the whole week, obviously. Next time I come back, you know, next year, it won't be a course where I never played well before. You know, I'll have a few good rounds in under my belt. But yeah, from today, I've learned a lot. I think on the back nine, just a couple of instances where I wasn't aggressive enough and I kind of lost focus a little bit, which is weird to say in those conditions. But, you know, it's a long week and it's not easy to hit every shot 100%.
We have all those great camera angles at CBS a lot of times, and we don't get to see the pine cone fall. You never see the trajectory of the ball on that shot.
Yeah.
You didn't see where it hit. All you saw was the ball going in the pond, and the pine cone hit first.
Yeah,
I thought that was a little.
They missed a couple shots.
Peeved at that. That we never got to see exactly.
They had to go back and do a couple. Yeah. And repeat because and replay because they missed it a lot.
Because I didn't realize the branches were that hung over.
No, nobody
where
did.
They were. So anyway.
All right, let's take a break here.
Yep.
We'll come back. It's all Tiger and Game of Thrones the rest of the way. 239-337 ESPN. In fact, I'll read some of the hate mail I'm getting on the Stony Brook Golf Club
text
line.
Accidents.
All right, it is Sheeman and Shepard. Give us a call, 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.